You guys ready? Call the meeting to order. First order of business is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Lank, do we have any changes this evening?
One, just to announce something that's already noted on the agenda, is that public hearing for 2015-3 Redwood 2 subdivision was withdrawn by the applicant on July 20th of 2015. And I will also note an old business under the first item, change of zone 1768 Convergence Communities. It is noted that the purpose is to announce receipt of information regarding amenities. That information was already supplied to the commission on June 11th of 2015. Everything else is the same, unless Janelle's got something I'm not aware of.
I have nothing else.
Otherwise, the agenda is firm.
Okay.
So my suggestion would be that if you approve the agenda, you would delete to announce receipt of information regarding amenities. You can still act on it as old business.
So moved, Mr. Chairman, of approval of the agenda with the notation as Director Lank indicated.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the agenda with the notations contained in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is the approval of the minutes of the July 9, 2015 meeting.
Gentlemen, I made some minor corrections to the minutes of July 9, 2015. If you so move to vote on those minutes, it should be as amended.
Mr. Chairman, my motion is for approval of amended minutes to July 9, 2015 meeting.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the July 9, 2015 meeting as amended. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. All right, then. Our next item is old business. We have five items of old business this evening. The first one being a change of zone number 1768, Convergence Communities.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this lies in my area. And I just wanted to say that we deferred this, I believe, receipt of information on the amenities as we did a few weeks ago. We got that. We've allowed the public to have comment. And I guess at this point, prior to, or do we need to close the record on that? Because if we do, I'd like to at least open it up to some discussion if any of the other commissioners would like to comment.
I think the record at this point is closed because that information was received and announced. So
I see.
Yeah, there's not any action that needs to be taken. Right.
Well, I don't know if any of the other commissioners or the chairman would like to comment on this. I had some feelings about this, keyword had some feelings about this, and thankfully, I guess with the passage of time, I've gone past some of those feelings and have addressed this issue from a different light. One of the things that has confused me about this application was why it came through the county as opposed to the city of Ocean View, because there are some aspects of this, most notably the entrance and the amenity sharing package, which this community, if it's built out and approved by the county, will be sharing with a community in the city of Ocean View. I think it also presented some issues to me as to what could be wear and tear on the roads, policing, some difficulties of basically creating a community that would be sort of the donut hole, the hole in the donut surrounded by that. But there are some things that I guess I'm not slated to know and don't have to know as a part of the application, acting what's on the record. As I say, my thoughts were that you know, perhaps this community would have been annexed in, and maybe at some point it will be. And my perception of some pragmatic problems in the future will not come to reality. I do think that the commission has, I got thinking, and Mr. Robertson and I discussed, there are some communities, I believe, in an aspect of Schofield and Harbor Point that have some access issues in and around the city of Lewis. One is a roadway that's maintained by Lewis that serves Harbor Point, and then an aspect of Schofield that's in the city. And as I say, a month or so ago, I wouldn't have thought that I would have made a motion that I would like to read in the record in a moment, but I'd just like to ask Mr. Ross and Mr. Burton, Chairman Wheatley or Commissioner Johnson, if they have any comments before so doing so.
Mr. Chairman, I echo Mr. Smith's concern about a lack of more detailed conversation between the applicant and the City of Ocean View, Municipality of Ocean View, regarding annexation. However, as we know, that is an opportunity for the applicant to engage. There's no laws that require the applicant to request annexation or requires that conversation. It just seems that since about half this development is already approved and in the City of Ocean View, that would have been a common sense approach. But nevertheless, we have to act on the record before us, and I agree with Mr. Smith that probably it's an appropriate application to approve.
Okay. Anyone else?
I share the same concerns, and it's not much I can add.
Okay.
I think we're kind of uniform in that, Mr. Chairman. I think there is a concern about, leaving a spot like that. Kind of in limbo, it raises the issue of safety. What happens if there's a need for police, and who do you call? Besides Ghostbusters,
Yeah. Well, intergovernmental coordination is always the most difficult piece of business that we do. We have a land use plan opportunity coming up here in another year or so, and perhaps we can address it then. But as it stands right now, I think we have to look at the application and the way it is and go from there.
Another thing is one of the challenges of being on the commission is you have to subordinate some of your own questions and feelings and act as we keep increasingly finding out according to the ordinances and along with the protocol. So, Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of change of zone number 1768 for Convergence Communities for a change in zone from AR1 to an MRRPC based upon the information contained in the record and for the following reasons. And I'm going to skip to one reason, is that I don't believe that there was anyone in opposition to this application. Am I correct in that, Mr. Roberts?
That's correct, yeah. According to the minutes, we're not.
The proposed MRRPC project meets the purpose of the zoning ordinance in that it promotes the orderly growth of the county because the proposed project is in a developing area as established by the Comprehensive Land Use Plan. The proposed rezoning to an MRRPC meets the purpose of both the MR and the RPC zoning designation since it provides for a superior living environment where county sewer and central water are available. Sewer service will be provided as part of a county-operated sanitary sewer district, and adequate wastewater capacity is available for the project. Central water will be provided to the project. With the conditions placed upon this project, the RPC designation is appropriate for this parcel of land, and that the purpose of an RPC is to encourage large-scale development as a means to create superior living environments and the use of design ingenuity. The development will be required to comply with all DLDOT requirements, including entrance locations, roadway improvements. This application with conditions so placed upon it is consistent with the surrounding areas, which include a mix of single-family residential, multifamily residential developments. This recommendation is, however, subject to the following conditions, them being: A, the maximum number of residential units shall not exceed 164 units, which shall consist of 120 single-family units and 44 townhouse units. Site plan review as part of condition B, shall be required for each phase of development. C, all entrance, intersection, interconnection, roadway, multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant in accordance with DLDOT's requirements or in accordance with any further modifications as required by DLDOT. D, the development shall be served as part of a Sussex County Sanitary Sewer District in accordance with the Sussex County Engineering Department specifications and regulations. E, the MRRPC shall be served by a public central water system providing adequate drinking water and fire protection as so required by applicable regulations. F, the stormwater management and erosion and sediment control facilities shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state county requirements. These facilities shall be operated in a manner that is consistent with best management practices, also known as BMPs. And the final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District. G, the interior street design shall be in accordance with or exceed Sussex County street design requirements and or specifications. As so proffered by the applicant, street design shall include sidewalks on both sides of the streets. H, the applicant shall submit as part of the site plan review a landscape plan showing the proposed tree and shrub landscape design. L, construction, site work, grading, and deliveries of construction materials, landscape materials, and fill on, off, or to the property shall only occur from Monday through Saturday and only between the hours of 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. J, the applicant shall cause to be formed a homeowners or condominium association to be responsible for the maintenance of the streets, roads, buffers, open spaces, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas. K, federal and state wetlands shall be maintained as non-disturbance areas, except where authorized by federal or state permits. The wetland areas shall be clearly marked on the site with permanent markings. There shall be a 50-foot buffer from all tidal wetlands. And as proffered by the applicant, owners and residents of the proposed development shall be entitled to use all of the recreational amenities of the adjacent Ocean View Beach Club development under the same rights, responsibilities, and fees applicable to owners and residents of the Ocean View Beach Club. And lastly, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. And as noted, there was no opposition.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of change of zone number 1768, Convergence Communities, for the reasons and with the conditions stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is subdivision 2004-52, Holland Mills.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think this has been before the commission several times since we were first approached by the applicant in the beginning of this year, as well as the hearings we had back in 2005 and the final approval when that was granted. I don't know what else, what other comments my fellow commissioners have to say about it before I'm prepared to make my motion.
All right, sir.
I'll start off that I know this is a hot topic, and I think there was a mistake made. Where it was made, I don't know, but it seemed that there was enough. Community came out and said, "Please don't correct it," and I think we should honor that and allow the subdivision to remain as it is without sidewalks. Much as I don't like that, but that's what I think.
Anyone else wish to comment?
Yeah, I feel along the lines of what Mr. Burton said. Entirely with what he said, and that the I think it was a lot of the voice of the community coming out and indicating that it was going to be a hardship for them. they seemed to think it was a bitter pill, but they swallowed the pill. Maybe the memory was seared in their minds, but they expressed that they had a lot invested in monies and materials, plantings, irrigation systems, and I don't think that we had a good feel for how this could be engineered out and still have safe vehicular access through the community. I think the commission was sort of put in a situation of trying to play catch up on this. I would like to think this would be the last time that this would come before the commission, but I feel as though it won't, and I think that the discussion that we had in several of the times that we deferred on this, we talked about going forward with some type of ordinance or guidance or engineering or a dictum from our engineering department as to what we could do. So that's my thoughts. Thank you, gentlemen.
Mr. Chairman, I know probably pretty much everybody has gone through the process of building or designing something in their life. It might be their house or a small outbuilding of some kind. But having gone through that process from small warehouses to poultry houses to a $10 million production facility, I find it implausible that the applicant could build so many homes and then discover he needed to build sidewalks. And unfortunately, the reason we have so many rules and regulations is because of things like this. What really common sense should dictate, I guess we'll just say mistakes happen and call them mistakes when sometimes and maybe they aren't. Nevertheless, I think this is an opportunity to move towards a solution for this sidewalk debate that continues to plague us, it seems like, at every meeting. And one, I think that if sidewalks are going to be proffered, then they should be part of the approval and the conditions of an approval. And those should reference specific county designs for sidewalks so everybody knows what we're talking about. Not a blacktop pavement at grade, not some other fabrication, but a specific design done by county engineering. I think that no building permit should be issued until those plans are shown to county engineering and approved that the roads, the drainage, and the sidewalks are integrated and actually will work. Thirdly, I think there shouldn't be any sidewalks in lot lines. They should be all be in the right-of-way. It's just inappropriate to build out a thing and people look at lots and they don't see sidewalks and don't realize that sidewalks are going to take up 5 feet of their front yard or maybe be on their front stoop. And finally, I think that certificates of occupancy should be withheld or bond or some other string should be attached so that either we are sure the sidewalks are going to be built or they can't sell the house until they are. Probably a bonding process would be the best way to go because mostly you would probably want to wait until at least a street was done and not do it house by house. And at the same time, it's legitimate that the builder wouldn't want to build the sidewalk in advance because utilities, they may have to tear them up, what they just put in, or construction equipment could tear them up and that sort of thing. So we need to give latitude where it makes sense. But anyhow, I think this is an opportunity at least to say, okay, here's what's occurred and here's a way to still allow consumer choice, but at the same time, make sure we don't have, I hate to use the word bad actors, but mistakes like this happen. Thank you.
Well, I think Mr. Ross has done a good job of outlining the foundation for an ordinance that we sorely need, and I think that's at the bottom of this and every other sidewalk problem that we've had, is that we just don't have ordinance language that addresses it. And to the extent that we have that situation in general and the situation in particular with Holland Mills, I would suggest to you that the county has some responsibility in this. And I think in this instance, to a person, at least those that were in attendance at the public hearing, they all don't want these sidewalks, and I, for one, am certainly not in favor of making them take them if they don't want them. So, there you go, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate everyone's comments, and I think we're all keenly aware of the need to work with the county engineering department to come up with perhaps an ordinance that would satisfy county engineering and their designs, as well as the concerns of the commission in terms of providing for safe pedestrian travel going forward. Now, as we all know, gentlemen, oftentimes when we make a, when we have a motion or a motion is approved, sometimes others follow suit and use that as a base for wanting to have certain things, certain relief, certain things to change, et cetera. So I'm concerned that should we vote to grant relief in this case, that we don't have every subdivision running in here wanting their sidewalks removed because we permitted it in this case. So I think we're dealing with a very unique situation. And based on that, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to read the following in its entirety as part of my motion. And Mr. Chairman, concerning 2004-52 Holland Mills subdivision and the developer's request to revise the approved final record plan to delete sidewalks throughout the development, I offer the following motion. Sidewalks help to provide for safe pedestrian travel and superior design for subdivisions, especially cluster subdivisions that incorporate greater density via smaller lots. This subdivision was originally proffered to have curb and gutter streets and sidewalks on both sides of the street. Between the original public hearing in 2005 and the submission of the final site plan, the developer, without input from the commission, took it upon themselves to remove the curb and gutters and reduce the sidewalks to one side of the streets. Unfortunately, this substantial change was approved by the commission without fanfare. Sometime after the approval of the final site plan, again without conferring with the Planning and Zoning Commission, the developer took it upon themselves to remove sidewalks entirely and told builders to proceed without the sidewalks, despite sidewalks being clearly identified on the final approved site plan. Perhaps due to the developer's willful and intentional removal of sidewalks from the subdivision, and allowing for the sale of lots, building of homes, and eventual occupation of almost one half of the approved lots without sidewalks, the developer may have been in violation of Section 115-229 and 99-38, noted as violations and penalties. However, the developer instead has sought relief from the Planning and Zoning Commission, whereby the developer has asked the commission to remove sidewalks from the subdivision. In this subdivision, the development has been substantially constructed without sidewalks, and many homes have been built and sold without them. The sidewalks, road, and drainage design would also require the sidewalks to be placed within many of the individual lots, which would directly impact the homeowners' driveways, landscaping, and other improvements that homeowners may have made to their properties. During the public hearing, many residents testified that they would not want the sidewalks installed now. For these reasons, in this particular case, the commission essentially has no alternative but to grant the developer and homeowners relief from the obligation to provide sidewalks. Given these particular circumstances, I move that we grant approval of the request to delete sidewalks from subdivision 2004-52 final site plan.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to grant relief from the requirement to construct sidewalks for the Holland Mills subdivision 2004-52. In accordance with the conditions stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Our next item is subdivision 2004-53 Anthem.
Mr. Chairman, this subdivision applicate our request to remove the sidewalks from this subdivision final site plan was, as we all know, was done in conjunction with the request for 2004-53 2022-52. And per the guidance and advice of our council, although it was presented jointly, they're considered as two separate applications. And given that, I'm prepared to make a motion.
All right, sir.
While subdivision 2004-53 was presented jointly with subdivision 2004-52 request to revise the approved final site plan to delete sidewalks throughout the development, it is indeed a separate application and is to be considered under its own merits. Subdivision 2004-53 Anthem Subdivision is not substantially underway. No lots have been sold, no homes have been constructed, streets, stormwater management, etc., have not been constructed. The developer has not presented any material facts which might warrant the removal of sidewalks from this cluster subdivision. No hardships, engineering design problems, topography issues, etc., were even mentioned. The applicant did not make a record sufficient to justify the removal of the sidewalks from the approved plan. However, for the record, the developer did state that the Holland Mills subdivision residents were not going to have to share their clubhouse and pool with the Anthem subdivision. That Anthem would have, and further, that Anthem would have its own amenities despite the previous approval for the sharing of these facilities. Nevertheless, the review of the proposed amended site plan for Anthem does not show any pool or clubhouse amenities. Therefore, regarding subdivision 2004-53, I move that we deny the applicant's request to approve a revised final site plan without the with the sidewalks deleted from it based on an insufficient record. Further, the applicant is to submit a revised final record plan to include sidewalks on one side of every street and to include the proffered clubhouse and pool to serve the Anthem subdivision.
Well, Mr. Johnson, so far we don't have a second to your motion.
Well, maybe after my first motion, I thought I was just taking a pause.
I have a question. If
Mason's rules of legislative procedure do allow discussion before a motion and a second. Those of you in the audience are probably familiar with Robert's rules. Those are not the rules that we use for this type of procedure. So there doesn't have to be a motion and a second on the floor in order to have discussion. So go ahead.
My question about this motion and the lack of a sufficient record, what I'm pondering is, because we did allow the applicant to merge the two public hearings into one presentation, I'm sort of going on the thinking that what was said about the one subdivision was considered rote to have been said about the second one. And I'm wondering about, my thoughts are, if I vote with and for this on lack of a record, is this going to come back and haunt us because of other times when other applicants come and they merge a change of zone with a conditional use or something like that, or they merge two similar things? So I guess I'm
wondering
about the clarity and specificity of saying not a sufficient record. I understand that not much was said about that, specifically naming Anthem versus Holland Mills, but that's my question.
Well, I tend to agree with you, and I think even at a more basic level than that, that it is on the record that there's been no activity there. There's no harm, no foul. We don't have an ordinance that covers sidewalks anyway. I don't see how we can make them do it, frankly. There's certainly that may not be a universally held opinion. Clearly is not a universally held opinion. So
I tend to agree with Mr. Johnson on the record portion of the debate. I'd listened to the tape a second time, and the discussion solely centered around Holland Mills. And I think a record does need to be made for both at some point, even if it's subliminal in some way. And I don't believe that a record was made. My concern in not making the second was really the additional conditions, even though I do recall them proffering separate amenities. But there wasn't much specifics about that. And kind of when you read it, I kind of look at Mr. Robertson to see if we can actually do that under the circumstance or not.
Well, I mean, if we're asking to approve a final site plan, you know, one of the things in the subdivision code is that the, and I'm not going to pull up the exact site, but the final needs to be substantially similar to the preliminary. I don't know if, I without going back and reviewing it myself, I don't think necessarily anybody looked at the amenities package because we're so focused on sidewalks. But that in general is a concern if we're getting something where there's amenities shown at the preliminary stage and they're not showing up at the final stage. If it was discussed in a, and this is more of a general comment, if it was discussed at the public hearing and wasn't on the preliminary and wasn't a conditional a condition of approval and doesn't show up on the final, the fact that it was discussed or proffered, I don't know that that means necessarily it has to be on the final site plan. I mean, because a lot of things get discussed in a public hearing. You know, it would have had to have been, like I said, on the preliminary site plan, it seems to me, or a specific condition of approval. In this case, though, with the sidewalks, they were on the approved final site plan, as I understand it, previously. So, I mean, that was set and approved by the commission, so.
Mr. Johnson, you know, I'm not too keen on adding the amenities in the motion, and that's the reason I didn't second it, only because I don't think it was given a lot of attention and forethought and discussion, and I am in agreement about denying the application for lack of a record. I understand your concern, Mr. Smith, and yours, Bob, as well, but it doesn't preclude the applicant from coming back and saying, you know what, we did discuss Holland Mills at length, and we really didn't discuss Anson that much, and I'd like to reapply, you know, to get this withdrawn. So they can come back. It's not taking any rights away from them. They can come back and create a better record for that. So I don't think it puts the commission in any legal jeopardy of any kind by denying it. They just got to come back and do it again. Considering what's happened in Holland Mills, it might be due justice, grace of God, if you want.
Is that a second?
No, I would, if Mr. Johnson would be willing to.
I think you're being asked to amend your motion, Mr. Johnson.
To remove the amenity portion of it. I understand where you're coming from, Mike, but I just can't do that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, given our discussion, I'm willing to withdraw that motion. I'm prepared to make another one.
Okay.
And again, I wish this to be read in its entirety, and it won't be as long as the first one. Fortunately, it's going to be shorter than the second one. Mr. Chairman, while subdivision 2004-53 was presented jointly with subdivision 2004-52's request to revise the approved final record plan to delete sidewalks throughout the development, it is indeed a separate application and is to be considered under its own merits. 2004-53 Anthem subdivision is not substantially underway. No lots have been sold. No homes have been constructed. Streets, stormwater management, etc. have not been constructed. The developer has not presented any material facts which might warrant the removal of sidewalks from the cluster subdivision. No hardships, engineering design problems, topography issues, etc. were even mentioned. The applicant did not make a record sufficient to justify the removal of the sidewalks from the approved plan. Skipping that. Therefore, regarding subdivision 2004-53, I move that we deny the applicant's request to approve a revised final record plan with sidewalks deleted from it based on an insufficient record.
Second.
A second.
I got a second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to deny the change in the site plan to delete the sidewalks from subdivision 2004-52 Holland Mills, and we'll call the roll for a vote. Mr. Johnson?
I made the motion. I'm in favor of it.
Okay. Mr. Ross?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Burton?
No.
Mr. Smith?
No.
And the chair votes no. The motion fails 3-2. Well, Mr. Johnson or anyone else, you want to consider another motion or perhaps a motion for deferral?
May I ask a question?
You may. You may make a motion if you like.
Well, with this, does this now we, or the county, we have compelled the, at this point, the developer has to stick to the approved final record plan. Is that correct?
Well, at this point, we're the same place we were
exactly
30 seconds ago, yeah. Because we voted against a motion to deny.
Yeah.
There's been no other motion to take any other action, so we're essentially the same place we were yesterday.
Right. But on record, there is a final record plan, right, in the...
Yes, because right, that's what this recorded. Is. It's a final record plan. This is an amendment to the final record plan.
Right. So we have a final record plan that shows sidewalks.
Well, the motion that was just made, and Vince, you can correct me if I'm wrong, was that you denied the applicant's request the motion was to deny the request to delete sidewalks, in short. And it was voted 3-2. So technically, the sidewalks would be built, is that right?
Yeah, because that's what the current final record plan shows sidewalks. So that's what everybody has to live with right now. So it's the same as Mr. Wheatley said. We're the same place now as we were yesterday.
And doesn't that satisfy what Mr. Ross said? We're not taking anything back from the applicant. The applicant can come back. If he wants to create a more specific record for Anthem, he could do so in asking for another revision. I think the answer is yes.
Put that in the form of a motion, I guess. I mean, at this point, we're sort of stuck.
Yeah, because it takes three votes to approve a motion. So,
right.
You know, I mean, here's what
you need.
I would rather have it dealt with one way or the other, because if there's not three votes, the motion doesn't pass, and we've technically still got this application in limbo without anybody having acted on it.
Exactly.
That's my concern.
My thought is that, you know, we have allowed, there are no sidewalk ordinance. There just isn't. And we have never not allowed a deletion of a sidewalk without, if no lots had transferred. I know this one's across the street from the one we just discussed, and it had a lot of emotions attached to it. But I don't think it's fair to not have a motion and to treat this applicant different than we have the other applicants that have come before us and asked the same question.
Well, and I'm not convinced that there isn't a sufficient record, because the hearings were consolidated, and what is said about one is intended to reflect the other. I think implicit, if not explicit, certainly implicit in the testimony, was that the same kind of construction headaches and so on, and design headaches and problems would be just as likely, you know, across the street. So I'm not as bothered by the lack of record, because I'm not sure that there is a sufficient lack of a record. You know, and it just goes back to the idea that we don't have an ordinance, we don't have the rules to enforce in the first place. So it's something we need to get about.
And I would just add one thing. This wasn't one that had the condition in the approval that required sidewalks. You know, that's the other thing that the commission typically has always dealt with. And we don't really even have that in this situation.
Yeah, so it's not even, wasn't even one of the conditions that were put on. It was just, they just appeared.
They appeared on the final.
Yeah, they just appeared on the final.
Can it be as simple as a motion to allow the deletion of the sidewalk?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think so.
Yes, it can.
I would put that motion forward.
What's the motion?
To allow the deletion of the sidewalks in 2004-53 Anthem.
Will you change your mind on that?
Second.
All right, then. It's been moved and seconded to allow the deletion of the sidewalks from the Anthem subdivision 2004-53. We'll call the roll once again. And Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
No.
Mr. Ross?
No.
And the chair votes yes. The motion carries 3-2. All right, gentlemen. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, along the lines of our discussion just now.
Yes, sir.
Because they're not, the sidewalks are not in the ordinance, then how on earth are we able to force somebody, as in Rehoboth, to make a bigger swimming pool? Because it appeared on their record plat that it was bigger than what was actually built. I don't see anything in the ordinance that says that a swimming pool has to be built to the approximate size as shown on a site plan. Also not aware of streetlights, I'm not aware of clubhouses or pools or any amenities being required in anything other than part of it is a superior design.
Okay.
That's one of the requirements in a cluster subdivision, is superior design. So if we have a subdivision and we don't provide for safe pedestrian travel, we don't provide for any amenities other than a hole in the ground that may or may not contain water sometime in our lifetime, what are we doing? You know, what's our responsibility?
Well, I will respond to that just again generally because that was a concern historically that the commission has had with amenities and specific ones and when they would be built and even sidewalks. Got to the point going probably 10 years ago where people were saying they were going to do things and they wouldn't appear on the final site plan. And that's why you went from 10 or 12 years ago to fairly short motions for approvals on subdivisions to lengthy ones now, because as prior commissioners determined, it had to be in the approval or else there was no way to guarantee it was going to get done. So that's why on a lot of RPCs and a lot of subdivisions, you'll see amenities shall include walking paths, pool house, clubhouse, tennis courts in the conditions, you know, and sidewalks and street lights and buffers from wetlands if it's proffered and all that stuff. That's why we started listing it, for that exact reason, because it was great to talk about it, but unless it showed up in a decision, there was no way to ensure it was going to get done. In the particular case that we just had, for whatever reason, it didn't show up in the decision. I have no idea why they weren't there. Maybe it wasn't something that was important enough to the commission at the time. I don't know. But that's why we put all that stuff in the commission, in the conditions of approval. And that gives it the teeth. If it's in the approval, you got to do it, or else you got to come back to the commission and request relief. You know, I mean, it's up to the commission then if they want to modify prior conditions. That's your discretion to do that. But that's why all that, for Mr. Johnson's exact point, that's why all that stuff is listed in every single one of those approvals that we do. And there, I know it's a hassle to read them, and they're long, and nobody likes the fact that they're long, but that's why it's done, to try to encompass everything that was proffered by the applicant so they don't make a nice show and then aren't held to it.
Right. Right, agreed. And I think these situations with the sidewalk and like with the pool turn on the fact as to whether or not anyone has been induced to part with money based on what's been said and shown to them. If no one has bought a lot, no one has sold a lot, nothing's been constructed, well, no one in the public has been harmed. Now, in the situation with the pool, there were already people who had made a purchase and made a decision based on what they were shown, and now that we're being shown something different. That is a big problem for me. People need to be able to rely on what they are shown when they lay their money down. And if those folks at Holland Mills had come in here and said, we want the sidewalks, I would be voting for them to build the sidewalks because that's what they bargained for. But they don't believe that they bargained for it. None of them had an individual plan that showed a sidewalk in front of their house, even though it was shown on all the site plans. And as to whether or not the developer's conduct was proper, I have some real concerns about that. But the fact of the matter is, we have to deal with what's in front of us, and you know, that's what we try to do. So, but I feel you, Mr. Johnson. I just can't always find you.
That may be. Just be prepared, Mr. Chairman, for every subdivision that where we have approved sidewalks to come back and say, we don't want to put them in, and they don't need to provide any basis or justification for it, because that's just what we've just done.
As soon as we said,
open the door, take out the sidewalks, you don't have to justify, it's okay, we don't care. Or at least some of us don't care.
Well, when we have an ordinance that addresses them, then we'll have what we need to do that. But until we do, it's going to be a difficult situation. So let's get about that. All right, then.
Just real quick, Mr. Johnson, okay. If you could pass those notes down to Ms. Cornwell, just because she needs them for the minutes.
Well, she gets it right. All right. You, I'll share them with you. Okay.
Our next item is Tallgrass Estates Lands, subdivision 2015-2.
Oh, you don't need that one. I got turned down.